Okay, this evening then we're going to look at Isaiah 38. I'm taking the title for the message from what is said, in verse 17. Delivered from the pit of corruption. Look what it says in verse 17, Isaiah 38. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. For on my peace came great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. Delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, from the guilt of my sin, from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind the back of God. Now where is that? Where is the backside of God? I can't see anything behind me. But think about this. God, who knows all things, said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. They're cast into the depths of the sea, separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Delivered from the pit of corruption. That is every believer's testimony. And he did it. He delivered us. He is called the deliverer. He is our redeemer. Remember, from reading Job 33, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. That's the reason we're delivered, because we have a ransom. The ransom he freely paid. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. Matthew 20, verse 28, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom, payment for sin for many, for his people. He laid down his life for his sheep. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We studied in 1 Timothy 2 that he gave himself a ransom, a full payment for all his elect, all his people. Now Hezekiah was a blessing to the people of Judah. It was a blessing to those people where he reigned as king in Judah. He began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And God says of him that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And we read earlier, and the Lord made him to prosper. All that he did, the Lord made him to prosper. We read over there in 2 Kings 18, he removed all the relics of idolatry. Even took the brazen serpent that Moses had made and broke it in pieces and called it a worthless piece of brass. Nehushtan. Nehushtan. So he told all Israel to worship the Lord and trust the Lord. And God says of him, there was none like him among the kings in Israel. He was God's king, a special king like David. David was God's anointed man. We saw his faithfulness, how he defied the armies of Syria when they came to surround the city with probably well over 200,000 soldiers. And he cried unto the Lord for help, and the Lord delivered them in a marvelous way. Sent one angel from heaven and destroyed 185,000 soldiers. Think what the Lord could do with a legion of angels. Remember when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus, and Peter took out his sword and tried to defend the Lord. And remember what he said? Peter, put up your sword. I don't need your help. I could call 12 legions of angels to wipe out these people. 12 legions of angels. I think I calculated that one time. That's 60,000 angels. If one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians, what would 60,000 do? Wow. You see, it's no problem for the Lord to defend his people. But now we see something unusual. We see the Lord sent affliction, sickness to Hezekiah. He was sick unto death. Look what it says in verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet came and said unto him, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're going to die. What did Hezekiah do? He cried unto the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me. We see Hezekiah afflicted with sickness. Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer and granted him 15 more years. Now, that was the will of the Lord. He prayed according to the will of the Lord, and the Lord granted that. It was the Lord's purpose all along, unknown to Hezekiah. The Lord sent that sickness on purpose, and the Lord sent the remedy for healing, that plaster, put it on the boil, and he recovered from sickness. And the Lord all along planned to grant him 15 more years. Isaiah didn't know at first, neither did Hezekiah, until it was made known. And the Lord gave them a great sign to verify the fact of his healing, that God had heard his prayer. God turned back time, stopped the world, and turned the world in reverse. Put the universe in reverse. Only God can do that. What a almighty, sovereign God we serve. Anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for the Lord? Not at all. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible. God, who created all things, created time, and space, and matter. And one day, remember we studied in Revelation 10, God said time will be no more. One day time will be over. With God, there's just the eternal present. We are creatures of time. Being a faithful believer, as Hezekiah was, does not exempt us from trial, heartache, sickness, and persecution. God's special apostles, those men specially chosen of God and blessed in such a special way, they had much heartache, much trouble, much persecution. And our Lord told them, and he tells us, "These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Ah, but in this world you shall have tribulation. Ah, but be of good cheer. I have overcome." Some of God's faithful servants of the past and present have suffered years of sickness and even early death. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher over in England back in the middle 1800s, was sick for many of his years in ministry. During his ministry, he was sick many, many times. He had to take months and months off and could not preach. And he died at a very young age, as we think about being old. He was just 58 years old. 58 years old. The great hymn writer and preacher, Augustus Toplady, who wrote Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, Let Me Hide Myself in Thee, died of tuberculosis, 1778, and he was just 38 years old. Robert Mary McShane died at a very early age. David Brainer, the great missionary to the American Indians, also died at a very, very young age. I think of three young people that we know personally that are afflicted with great sickness and cancer. I mentioned earlier about Dee Parks. And then most of you know Daniel Culver. Daniel Culver, his daughter Jessica is also having a terrible, terrible time with cancer. Had been afflicted so, so grievously. And I told you about Erin Woods. She's also, these are all young people in their 40s, also been afflicted with cancer. Remember the beloved brother of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, was sick and dying, and the sister sent word to the Lord saying, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Well, we know what happened. The Lord tarried a couple days till Lazarus had died. And time that he got to the grave, he'd been dead 4 days. And the Lord said, "You take away that stone." And they said, "You don't want to do that." "Oh, yeah, I do." Lazarus come forth, and he that was dead came forth. You see, being a believer doesn't exempt us from heartache, sickness, and eventually this body's going to die. Hezekiah eventually died. Lazarus, even though he was raised from the dead, eventually he died. Being a believer doesn't exempt us from heartache, trial, and trouble. But being a believer does bring us grace for the trial. He said His grace is sufficient. And eternal blessings when the believer dies in the Lord. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Death to the believer is not punishment, it's promotion. As I've said to you many times over the years, blessed are they who die in the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord. You remember Psalm, what is that? Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I want to use this God-given, inspired words of Hezekiah, found in verse 9 down to verse 20. It's really the words of his testimony and the experience of his salvation from the Lord when the Lord had healed him and when he was recovered from his sickness. And I want to use that as an outline with these four points. We see, first of all, the despair of conviction. Secondly, the dependence of heart faith. He was totally dependent upon the Lord for His mercy. Thirdly, the deliverance of his soul. Thou hast delivered me. And then the dedication of gratitude in closing. Despair of conviction leads to dependence of faith, doesn't it? Dependence of faith obtained deliverance by God's redeeming grace. Deliverance by His grace also leads to dedication of gratitude of heart unto the Lord. As David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Forget not all of His benefits, who healeth us and takes away our sin. We used to sing that chorus. When we had a piano player at one time, we'd sing that chorus out of the chorus book. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. If I was a singer, I'd sing it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that the attitude of the believer's heart? It's constantly, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I don't want any of us to seek an experience and call that salvation. Many people seek an experience or a feeling. Now, I don't want you to seek an experience alone or a feeling alone as we seek salvation in Christ. However, those who do truly seek Him do experience God's mercy and God's grace. And experience is not salvation, but salvation by the grace of God is something certainly we experience and we feel in our heart and our soul. Now, first thing is this, the despair of Holy Spirit conviction. The despair of Holy Spirit conviction. And we see that in verse 10 and following, Isaiah 38, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, even the in the land of living. I shall behold man no more. He's getting ready to die. Conviction. I'm getting ready to die. Behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. My age is departed and is removed. Now he's just a young man here. From me as a shepherd's tent, getting ready to fold up the tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night. Wilt thou make an end of me? Here's he crying unto the Lord in despair and conviction. I reckon till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. From day even to night, without making end of me. You see something of his despair. He said, Lord, I'm broken. I'm convicted. God brought Hezekiah to the end of himself. God made Hezekiah to know that his only hope was found in the Lord. God be merciful to me, the sinner. This is exactly what the Lord does When God the Holy Spirit brings us to conviction of our sin, He brings us to the end of ourselves. He makes us to know that we must have no confidence in the flesh. He makes us to know without Him we are hopelessly lost, dead, guilty, vile, and wretched in His sight. That's what conviction of sin brings us to know and understand and experience. He reveals unto us what we are, as I am, that we have nothing, are nothing, and deserve nothing but His condemnation and righteous judgment. He convicts us of our sin, what we are. Remember in John 16, He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. When He has come, He will convict the world of sin, what I am, of righteousness, what I need, and of judgment, what I deserve. He brings that to pass in our heart, in our life. He convicts us and He shows us what we are. You remember we studied in Isaiah 6, verse 5, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and those angels said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You remember what Isaiah said? "Woe is me, woe is me." In the chapter before, he kept saying, "Woe unto them, woe unto them." But when he said, "Now I see thee," woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. When he convicts us of our sin, he shows us what we are by nature. And Adam all died. None righteous, no, not one. None that understand, none that seek after the Lord. He convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of our righteousness. He convicts us of righteousness. That is, what we need and what we do not have and what we cannot earn. We're no longer going about to establish a righteousness. He shows us that our best deeds are sin. Remember from Isaiah 64 when he says, "All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight." He convicts us of our sin, and then he shows us our best deeds are nothing but sin. And he shows us that we need a justifying righteousness only in Christ crucified. What we need Christ, who is the Lord, our righteousness. And then he convicts us of what we deserve. What do we deserve? Judgment, don't we? The wages of sin is death. David said, "Lord, if you give me what I deserve, if you condemn me, you're giving me exactly what I deserve." And that's what he convicts us of. He shows us that we're not worthy of the least of his mercies, that we're deserving of death and condemnation because of our guilt and sin. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you'll miss true godly repentance. If you miss true repentance, you'll miss faith. If you miss faith, you'll miss the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll miss Him. You see, it's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Those without faith are those without Christ. And without Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot please God. Can we? No. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Sadly, in our day, sadly in our religious day, man-centered, useless religion had diminished the need of Holy Spirit conviction. They've diminished the need. Now, not true preaching. I'm talking about useless, vain, false religion. They've totally skipped the need of Holy Spirit conviction. They have substituted making a decision for Holy Spirit conviction. They have replaced Holy Spirit conviction with walking down an aisle and joining the church. They have swapped Holy Spirit conviction for kneeling at the mourner's bench and praying through, they say. That's not Holy Spirit conviction. Holy Spirit conviction shows us our guilt. shows us our need of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll never look to Christ alone for all of salvation until you're convinced that you're lost, guilty, and an ungodly rebel against God. Until He teaches you that salvation is of the Lord. You'll never look to Him till He shows us our need of Him. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He came to save sinners. Oh, what a blessed thing it is to be taught of the Lord. To know that we are ungodly, that we are guilty, that we are sinners in God's sight. Before God clothes you with His righteousness, He must strip you of yourself. Before He saves you by His grace, He must condemn you in Adam. Before He heals you, He must wound you, convict you. Before He justifies you, He must kill you. Before He fills you, He must empty you. You see, the way up is not up. The way up is down. Down in submission unto the Lord. We'll never truly embrace the Lord Jesus Christ until you see your need of Him. That He is altogether lovely. That He is indeed precious. That Christ is everything that God has provided for us. And then we can say with David, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Now that's a blessed man. That's a blessed. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without work. So there is that deep conviction of God the Holy Spirit. The second thing we see in this experience of grace in the life of Hezekiah was the dependence of faith. The dependence of faith. Look at verse 14. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. My eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and him, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all things this thing, all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me? So wilt thou recover me and make me to live? Here's the dependence of faith. Hezekiah was totally shut up and totally dependent upon God to do a work of grace for him and in him. When Hezekiah realized he had no hope in himself or in Isaiah, he cried unto the Lord alone for mercy. He took his place before the throne of God as a mercy beggar. That's a good place to be. A mercy beggar is the throne of grace. He said in verse 14, I'm oppressed in anguish and despair. Undertake for me. Be my surety. Be my Savior. Saving faith has a single eye to the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto the Lord. Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you save me? Lord, would you undertake for me? Turn over to Isaiah 45. Remember what he says over here? Isaiah 45, verse 21, the last part. He said, there is no God else beside me. Isaiah 45, verse 21. A just God and Savior, there is none beside me. Now look, verse 22, unto me, and be saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Look at verse 24, Isaiah 45. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all their incense against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified. Justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is exactly what the gospel is all about. What He has done for us. Lord, He says, there undertake for me. You see that verse 14. O Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. Be my surety, be my substitute, be my representative. undertake for me. And the Lord has undertaken for his covenant people. He did undertake to honor the law of God for us. It says in Isaiah 42, 21 that he magnified the law of God and made it honorable on our behalf. He did undertake for us, the Lord Jesus Christ did, to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Turn just a few pages over to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, verse 21. He did undertake for us to put away our sin. Isaiah 44, 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel. For thou art my servant, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forth, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Undertake for me, Lord, thou hast done it for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. Salvation's all of his doing, is it not? The Lord Jesus did undertake for us to put away our sin. He did undertake for us to establish a perfect righteousness before God. Look back at Isaiah 32, verse 17. Isaiah 32, 17. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, assurance forever. My people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwelling, and in a quiet resting places. The work of righteousness shall be peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He did undertake for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he ever lived to intercede for us. The Lord himself hath done it. Saving faith is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It all depends upon him. Remember Psalm 118, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I like that Psalm 57, verse 2, where it said, the Lord hath performed all things for me. The gospel of Christ is not dependent upon our doing, but upon his doing, upon his death, upon his dying. His blood and his righteousness alone is all our hope. All our hope. The gospel is a declaration of what Christ has done for us, not what we must do for him. The gospel says done. It doesn't say do. D-O-N-E is done. The Lord said it is finished. Saving faith also brings us to the place of humility. He said, I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Saving faith slays self-righteous pride and gives us meekness of heart and repentant spirit. Saving faith gives God all the honor and glory. Look at verse 16. O Lord, by these things men shall live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit, so wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Saving faith gives God all the honor and glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. As Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the third thing. Look at verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Deliverance from sin by the power of God's grace through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hezekiah now enjoys great peace and happiness, though he had been in great bitterness. The words may be rendered, behold, I am in peace, and I had great bitterness of affliction. What great deliverance Hezekiah now enjoys from his sickness and enjoys salvation by the grace of God. Notice several things he says there in verse 17. For thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. His deliverance deliverance was due to God's love for him. This is true of all that God, by his purpose and grace, does for us in Christ Jesus. It's his love for us. We only love him because he first loved us. Thou hast in love to my soul. He loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness does he draw us to himself. His deliverance and every sinner's deliverance is due to his everlasting love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son to put away our sin. Thou hast delivered my soul from the pit of corruption. His deliverance and every sinner's deliverance is not only by his everlasting love, but his redeeming blood. He cast all of our sin behind his back, out of sight and out of mind. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, has put away all our sin completely. He remembers them no more. Remember Hebrews 10:17? He said, their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. They don't exist. David said in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Thou hast put away our sin and cast all our sin behind his back, blotted them out as a thick cloud, we read a moment ago in Isaiah 44. And then in Micah 7:19, it says, God has cast all their sin into the depths of the sea, blotted out, separated us, far as the east is from the west. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. What a blessed Savior we have. He chose us freely by his grace, redeemed us with his precious blood, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, translates us into the kingdom of God, dear son, by his grace. Thou hast done this. Now, here's the last thing. What does that bring us to? Gratitude. Hezekiah was thankful. For the grave cannot praise thee. Death cannot celebrate thee, verse 18. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living shall praise thee as I do this day. We're going to praise the Lord. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready. Look at verse 20. He was ready to save me. All along the Lord's ready to save. Therefore will we sing song to the string instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. The living shall praise thee. Those who are made alive in Christ Jesus, they do praise the Lord. Those who are made spiritually alive by his transforming power shall praise him now and forever. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood, to him be all the honor and glory. The Lord is ready to save. The Lord is ready to pardon. Therefore, by his grace, we are ready to praise him and ready to preach his gospel. Sing his praise all our days, privately in our heart before the Lord, and publicly in the house of the Lord. The Lord was ready to save me, verse 20. Therefore, we will sing songs, my song, to the string instrument all our days, the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah spent the last of his days worshiping the Lord.